go to Lamentations chapter 3. Don't often turn to Lamentations, but let's turn there. Lamentations chapter 3. So you got to go Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then the little book of Lamentations, 5 chapters long, chapter 3. And let's go down there to verse 24. I'll read one verse and you'll see where we are headed. If you take a look actually at verses 22 and 23, those are good verses. I'll just read them. They're good. Start off in verse 22. 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new how often? Do you need them every morning? Better believe it, you do and I do. They are new every morning, His mercies. And then, that sounds like a hymn we sing at the end of verse 23. Great is thy faithfulness, which is obviously where the song was derived from. Now take a look at 24 and you'll see our word that we're looking at tonight. 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. You know that I often divide things up into three parts when it comes to messages. So here's what I did with this one. I took that first phrase before that first comma in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. And we'll discuss that. That's the who. And then it says, saith my soul. That'll be the what. And then the last part, therefore will I hope in Him, that'll be the why. So I'll take you through this and remind you that as we go. But 24 says, the Lord is my portion. So before we get into this, we should probably define the word portion. So I'll tell you a little story. If you turn over to Genesis 31, I believe all my verses here are in order. So we'll just go from Genesis all the way, end up in the New Testament tonight. Genesis 31. While you're turning over there, I had the great blessing and privilege of growing up in the house with a mom who is the best cook in the world. You might say your mom is the best cook in the world, but I would have to fight you on that one. There's a lot of moms that are good cooks. I think we can all agree to that. And my mom was always very consistent whenever we had a meal. And I'm so thankful that I grew up during a time period where we regularly ate dinner as a family. And there were things that came up along the way, ball games and other events with church that came up along the way. So it wasn't every night of the week, but it was probably, I'd say, on a weekly basis, at least 5 times a week, we sat down at dinner time and ate together. My sister and I and my mom and dad. Anybody else get to experience? See this crowd? Yeah. Kids today, they don't know what that means. Kids today don't know what it means to actually sit down and have a meal and there be fellowship, because there's conversation. And you know why? What enters the picture when there's kids and food? What else has to be out on the table? The phones, right? Chris is shaking her head. No phones whenever you're eating. Amen to that. Yeah. Kids have a hard time with that. But they ought to learn there's a great art to sitting down and eating and having fellowship. What did the Lord say He wanted to do in Revelation 3:20? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He invites. He wants to be invited in so that He can do what? I will come in and sup. S-U-P. What's that mean? Have a meal, short for supper. So the Lord actually connects fellowship with a meal. And I think there's something to be said about sitting down and eating and food. Now, I say all that for this purpose. When we would sit down as a family and eat, we would pass the food around the table. And I would put down a pretty good portion of what I wanted, but leave it to mom just about every time to say, you need to get some more. You need a larger portion. Now, I didn't mind that when I was younger, but now that I'm older, and you know how this goes whenever you know you should not eat more than a certain amount because your waistline will definitely show it and your pants will get tighter. Now that I'm older, I have that awareness. But do you think it stops my mom from saying, you need to get a little bit more? She still does it. We were over there the other day. My dad made steaks, and we had a couple of side dishes, and I got done with my big old steak my dad cooked. I got done with mine, and she says, "Now get some more, get some more. Take that piece right, the big old piece." I said, "No." So my dad ended up cutting part of his in half and giving it to me, and she was happy that I actually had a larger portion. So that's a good synonym, but let me give you a definition looking at this verse. Look at verse 14, Genesis 31, 14. This is the account when Jacob leaves Laban, and he takes Rachel and Leah with him. It says, verse 14, Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, "Is there yet any portion?" Or what's that next word? "Inheritance for us in our father's house." And you get a good definition of portion from that verse. If you look up the dictionary definition, you know what it will say next to portion. It will actually say an inheritance. And what do you have in that verse? Portion or inheritance. And they're very similar. A portion is basically your piece or what you have coming to you. And for some, it might be a small amount. For others, it might be a large amount when it comes to an inheritance. But a portion is a certain amount, or you could say an allotment. I'll show you another one here. Go to Genesis 47. Just looking at how this word is used in your Bible and then getting a definition. Genesis 47, go down there to verse 20. This is Egypt with Joseph in charge. I know he's second in command under Pharaoh, but Joseph actually has a lot of things that he's able to do on his own here. And it says in verse 20, 47:20, "And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's." There's a whole lot about government here we could discuss. I'll save that for another day. Maybe we'll do that on our next Wednesday night series. It's very interesting here what's happening. But look at verse 21. "And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof." Now watch verse 22. "Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had" what? "A portion." What was a portion of what? In this case, it's a portion of the land. A portion assigned them of Pharaoh. And then it says this, "And did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore, they sold not their lands." So you got two usages of portion there. A portion is a piece of land, a piece of property, and a portion also having to do with food there. So an allotment, an amount, an inheritance. So with that in mind, I want you to think about that phrase in Lamentations. The Lord is my portion. If the Lord is your amount or allotment or inheritance, when do you get that portion? When do you get it? Is it now or is it in the future? Trick question. What do you think? It's actually both. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, God has given you a portion of spiritual blessings, and they're abundant, aren't they? You know, Paul talks about the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and they're abundant. Do you realize that it actually multiplies when you see the Lord face to face in heaven? Your portion actually grows greater when you see the Lord face to face, because then you're really seeing everything as it truly is. Now we see things through the Word of God. One day it'll be Lord Jesus Christ face to face. What a reality of what we now see in the Scriptures. What a physical reality that will become one day. And we will then truly know the portion we have in the Lord. So don't think that you just have something coming to you after you die when it comes to the Lord being your portion. We'll look at some verses that really seem to indicate right now for the saved, the Lord is our portion. Now let me ask you this. I think I asked you this last week or week before. But what do you really need in this life? What do you need? Help me out if you remember last week or week before we talked about this. What do you need? What are your basic needs right now in this life? Food and clothing. Shelter's a bonus. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Says over in 1 Timothy 6, Paul said that. So everybody has that. if that's all you have, and then you have the Lord Jesus Christ, we all need to understand this. We have more than enough. You have more than enough if you have food, raiment, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, out of those three things, food, clothing, the Lord Jesus Christ, which of the three do you still have after you die and pass out of this physical realm? The only one you take with you is the Lord, right? So how important should the Lord be now if He's the only thing that matters in eternity? The answer to that is nobody, nothing should be more important than the Lord right now for any and all of us. Lord is the world and the devil are really good about getting us sidetracked and not counting our blessings. But really and truly, all we really need right now is the Lord. All the other things are such a bonus. And I was thinking when we were praying back there how blessed we are with a building, with a Bible, and with fellowship, and with a free country. We've got the Lord, and if you had the Lord and you're living in a communist country, you got all you need, wouldn't you? And I say that because how long until we're a communist country? I hope that doesn't happen. But if it were to happen tomorrow and we were to go down that path, if you know the Lord, you have the Lord. I know that this is something I need to be constantly reminded of. If you know the Lord and you're saved, you don't really need anything else. You might want a bunch of things, but that's all you need. The Lord is all you need. So let's take a look at this. The who. Let's talk about the Lord. This is kind of the crux of the message here. The other will be just a little extra. But the Lord is the who as far as our portion. So let's look at the Lord being the who. Our portion is the Lord. Let's look at who He is. So go to Deuteronomy 32. The Lord is my portion. He is the who of that verse being our portion. So go to Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 8. Deuteronomy 32:8. This is the song of Moses here. And he just brags on the Lord here in this chapter. Verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now watch this next verse. For the Lord's portion is who? His people. Notice it's not talking about our portion in this verse. Make sure you notice. It says the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. So this one's reversed. We started off, the Lord is my portion. But notice this verse says the Lord's portion is who? His people. Now I know this is contextually, this is Israel in the Old Testament. Israel, His people. Saved people today, though, if you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, aren't you the Lord's people today? Don't you belong to the Lord? Don't we have a special relationship with Him like Israel did in the Old Testament? I realize it's not the same, but we are a peculiar people in a spiritual sense, like Israel was in a physical sense in the Old Testament. So here, I just wanted to point out, it says here that the Lord has a portion. And the Lord's portion is not animals. The Lord's portion is not the earth or the planets or the stars. The Lord's portion is His people. And I'm reminded of Psalm 8, which says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? And when you consider all the grandeur of God's creation and all the things that God made that He could take an interest in, who does He take the most interest in, folks? It's us. It's people. I know some of y'all have animals. We have animals. I take great interest in our animals. They become special to you because you get to take care of them. And there's a special bond there. I think that when we look at our relationship with animals, the Lord actually can teach us something about how He sees us. I delight in taking care of those animals. And it's there's something about them relying on me and my wife to take care of them. You think it might match the Lord where He sees us relying on Him to take care of our needs and we know we can't make it without Him? Do you think that brings Him pleasure? What do you think? I know it does. He made all things for His pleasure and He put man at the crown of His creation. Jesus Christ died for the sins of man. And I know that the animals are under a curse, and one day that will be removed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But animals don't get in on salvation like me and you do. The only part of God's creation that can trust Jesus Christ for salvation is man. Men, women, boys, girls. So I think that's neat. It says the Lord has a portion, and it's His people. So let's go on here. Go to Psalm 16, and now you'll see this reversed. If the Lord's portion is us, how much more should we delight in the fact that our portion, and our most important portion of any piece of anything, is the Lord? So Psalm 16, look at verse 5. Psalm 16, 5. Just a few verses on the Lord being our portion. Psalm 16, verse 5, it says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." Now, I tell you, there's some synonyms in that verse of portion that go right along with you looking up in the dictionary what it tells you a portion is by definition. Notice it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. There's one word that goes along with that word portion. And then it says, thou maintainest my lot. A lot is a certain amount that a person has. And good words that go along with that word portion. So consider, my parents are still living. And when you have a mother or a father or a family member that's close to you and they die, they will leave you, more times than not, some sort of inheritance. Well, think about it like this, though. It takes their death for you and I to get an inheritance. What does it take for me and you to gain an inheritance? What's it take on our part? You actually see your inheritance as you really should after you pass from death unto life, don't you? I know you got it now, but notice how inheritance comes by death here in this world. When we die, save people, and go from death to eternal life through Jesus Christ, we actually see what our inheritance, our portion, is all about. So again, this is nothing earth-shaking here tonight. Just a reminder of who the Lord is and how important He wants to be to us and should be. So go to Psalm 73. Next one, Psalm 73. The Lord is my portion, and that is enough. The Lord is all I need, being my portion. Good little reminder. Psalm 73, go to verse 26. 73:26. It says, my flesh and my heart, what do they do? Now think about this for just a moment before I read the rest of the verse, which is a great contrast. A man's flesh and his heart. Aren't so many people in our world led by, guided by their flesh and their heart? Pastor mentioned some of the decision-making going on in our world today, particularly in the media, and you could talk about politics. And you have a lot of people in those places that make decisions with their flesh and their heart. And what does that verse say happens with the flesh and the heart? What does it say, folks? It says they fail. My flesh and my heart faileth. So why would any of us put our trust in our own flesh or our own heart? Look at the contrast. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. How long? There are things that you have probably owned that you lost or got stolen or got broken that were highly valuable. The Lord is the portion that you can never lose if you know Jesus Christ. Notice that second part says, God is the strength of my heart. You consider the Lord being your portion. The human heart beats, at rest 60 to 80 times per minute. You do the math every hour. That's about anywhere from 400 to 500 times an hour. You do the math in a day. That's, 12,000 times a day your heart beats approximately. You know what every single beat of your heart, is dependent on the Lord being the strength of your heart and giving your heart the ability to beat. talking to the kids in biology class this week just briefly about the human heart and how there is not a more efficient pump in the entire world. There's not. It's the greatest pump in the world, made by God Himself. Consistent, does a lot of work repeatedly over and over. And notice in that verse, God is the strength of my heart. And I know you can make a spiritual application there and a physical. Consider physically, God is the strength of my heart. I'm dependent upon the Lord for every time my heart beats. Spiritually speaking, if I want to make decisions that are pleasing to God and I want to walk with God, I need God to be the strength who directs my heart as to what direction I take in this life. So, the Lord is your portion and He is enough. I'll probably say that another 10 times before the message is over. Go to Psalm 119. The Lord is my portion. That is plenty enough. Psalm 119. You know there'd be a verse in Psalm 119, being the longest chapter in the Bible. There'd be at least one verse that mentions the word portion. So let's go down there to Psalm 119, verse 57. Psalm 119, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. So again, you see the same things over and over again. The Lord's trying to get your attention. The Lord is enough if He is your portion. Notice in that verse, notice the blessing God has given us in addition to just being our portion. God's given us a great blessing here. It says, I have said that I would keep thy what? Thy words. How is it that you and I know that the Lord is our portion? How do we know that? We've got the source of truth that tells us repeatedly, over and over, verse after verse, the Lord is my portion. What a blessing it is to have God's words on the written page in front of us every time we come to church, every time you open your Bible at home. So there's the first point here. The Lord is my portion. So that's the who. The most important who in the universe is the Lord. The most important who in my life and your life should be the Lord Himself. So if that's not the case, revel in what the Lord has done for you and what He wants to continue to do for you, being your portion. Okay, so let's go to the next thing here. That verse we started off with in Lamentations said, the Lord is my portion. And then the next part of it said, saith my soul. And I want to just make this connection. The spiritual life of man is the most important part of his life. I know we all have physical things that we do every day, and they can be highly beneficial to us in many ways. But consider that what you do on the spiritual is more important, far more important than anything you do physically. So with that in mind, go over to Psalm. I'm going to back you up here on this one. Let's go to Psalm 11. I'll back you up, then we'll go forward again. Psalm 11. And considering that spiritual life and the Lord being our spiritual portion is most important, let's contrast what happens to those who don't know the Lord when it comes to their portion. So watch the contrast and be thankful for what you have knowing the Lord. Psalm 11, verse 5. And watch for our word to show up here. Psalm 11, 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the what? The portion of their cup. Okay, I have in my Bible, I actually underlined those two words at the end of verse 6, their cup. Whose cup is being described in verse 6? Whose cup is that? You got to go back to verse 5. It's the wicked. The cup of the wicked that the Lord gives them, their portion is, notice it, snares, fire, brimstone, horrible tempest. That is quite a contrast from the Lord being your portion and you having salvation, you having eternal life, you having spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a contrast. Notice the portion that the unbelievers get. Great contrast there. just so that you and I see, that's what the Lord gives those who don't make Him, the Lord, their portion. So real contrast there. Go over to Psalm 142. We'll go back forward again. Keep going through the Bible here. Psalm 142. I wanted to make this part spiritual. The verse said, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." So let's look at this on a spiritual side. Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Look at verse 5. Psalm 142, verse 5. "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." So when we think of portion, you need to consider eternity for sure. Consider what unbelievers have coming in eternity, the portion they have coming. It's not good. Consider the portion that saved people have in eternity. It's nothing but good. But then notice this verse actually connects the life we live right now. It says, "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." So that's both now, here in this life, and life eternal. So just another reminder there. The Lord is my portion. He is enough being my portion. Now let's go stick with the spiritual here. Go to Isaiah 53. What a unique place for this verse, or for the word portion to show up, Isaiah 53. When you go to Isaiah 53, or you hear mention of Isaiah 53, a little bell ought to go off in your brain. Oh yeah, that's that chapter that prophesies details about, help me out, somebody? The Lord, yes, but what did you say? The crucifixion. Okay, I didn't know. I thought somebody said something there. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of details here. Look what it says. I won't take the time to read everything, but look down in verse 10. I have to read a couple of verses to get to our word portion, but I want to give you a little context. It says here, now this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that would be Jesus. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So I tell you, that's a really neat place to just pause. The Lord God Almighty looked down and saw the payment made by Jesus Christ on the cross. And you know what the Lord God Almighty said, God the Father said? He said, that payment satisfies the requirement for the sins of all mankind. Isn't that something? Satisfactory payment. In fact, I wrote out in the margin of my Bible a good Bible word that goes along with this. Propitiation, which means God's satisfied. God is satisfied with the payment made on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. So then the rest of the verse, it says, shall be satisfied by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Are you included in that many? Have you been justified by Jesus Christ? Should be able to say yes if you're saved. For he shall bear their, that's mine, that's yours, iniquities. Okay, now watch our word in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a what? A portion with the great. Now that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So just focus on, there's a lot right there, but focus on that first part of verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. The portion of Jesus Christ that he received because he poured out his soul for me and you, sinners, is greatness. Is there any greater than the Lord Jesus Christ? None greater. Jesus the Great. They have all these rulers down throughout history. Peter the Great and this guy the Great. How about Jesus Christ the Great? Oh, how about this? This is even better. Jesus Christ the Greatest. People love to talk about the greatest of all time. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. Well, you know, nobody's greater. Nobody's the greatest of all time that can outshine the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he actually got his portion, divided his portion with the great, because he actually paid the price for our sins and satisfied the payment from the Lord. So there's that second part. There's the what of the Lord being my portion on a spiritual end, only available through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to do another little contrast here. Go to Luke 12 in the New Testament here. Luke 12. Those who reject Jesus Christ, I know I mentioned it before, but I'll give you this again. I need to be reminded of this because we all know folks that are not saved. So go to Luke chapter 12. Put on there to verse 42. And you'll see this is the Lord talking here. Take me a couple verses to get to the word portion, but let's see what it says here. 12:42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" That's a portion of food there. Then it says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Watch the contrast. "But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his" what? "Portion" with who? The unbelievers. So I contrast, for saved people, the Lord is our portion and he's enough. For the unsaved, they have a portion coming, and all unbelievers have the same portion coming. You go back to that verse in Psalms, it's God's wrath. It's God's, the cup of God's wrath. Here it actually says, "I will cut him in sunder." I think you got some second coming references there. "Will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So for those who don't know the Lord, they also get a portion, but it is a most undesirable portion. And they need to know how they can escape from getting that, only through Jesus Christ. Okay, this last thing here, let's talk about the why. It says in that verse in Lamentations, we started off in, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." So you have great hope with the Lord being your portion. So let's take a look at that word hope connected with portion, our portion being the Lord. Go to Colossians 1. Just a couple verses here and we'll wrap it up. Colossians chapter 1. "The Lord is my portion and he is plenty enough." Why is that the case? Well, take a look at what you have as the Lord is your portion. Colossians 1. Look at verse 3 here. It says, "We give thanks to God," verse 3, "we give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you," where? In heaven. Our portion in heaven, the hope laid up for us in heaven, "whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." So the Lord wants to be your portion now so that you realize you have enough. In heaven, we see it as it really is. In heaven is our portion in a physical sense, with the Lord being our portion. So just the great hope we have in heaven there from verse 5. The hope laid up for you in heaven. You know about that hope, it says in verse 5, through the word of the truth of the gospel. You get that from God's word. Now, here's my favorite of this last point here. Go to chapter 2 of Colossians. I tell you, this is a verse to meditate on, and meditate on it for a while. Take a look at Colossians 2. And before I read verse 3, notice at the end of verse 2, it says, "The mystery of God and of the Father," and of who? Christ. So when you go to verse 3, it says, "in whom," back to verse 2, that's got to be in Christ. So if you are in Christ, which all saved people are, look what it says about the portion you have being in Christ. Look at verse 3. "In whom are hid," what's that next word after hid? all the, what's that next word? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You mean to tell me you don't have to go to Harvard to get all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Actually, if you go to Harvard, you'll miss out on all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You mean I don't have to go to the world's greatest scientist to hear all about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In fact, you better run away from the scientists today, most of them, because they don't know what they're talking about. We learned that here a couple years ago. You mean I don't need to go to the learned PhDs and seminaries to find out all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? What's the answer to that, Brother Don? You know this as good as anybody. They don't have it. You know where you get all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge according to God's Word? You get it in Jesus Christ. I love the way that's phrased. It says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, Sherry and I, God has us in a Christian school. So thankful for that. We've been doing this for a while. And we have, still do, have the freedom in Christian school to proclaim all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that an individual, I don't care how young they are, if they can understand the gospel or how old they are, they can get in on all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that better? I wish Miley was here tonight. I'd say, Miley, aren't the treasures of wisdom and knowledge better than having to know your multiplication tables? And she would rejoice in saying yes. And you could go all the facts in the world that you could learn. Folks, there's nothing of more value. Now, I'm not saying facts aren't important about history and science and so forth, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are eternal and meaningful are found in Jesus Christ alone. Isn't it great to know you don't have to go anywhere else? You don't have to get a certificate or a degree or earn a grade to get in on all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I got another sermon on that verse. I have to save it for another day. Man, that's a good verse right there. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the portion you get when you know Jesus Christ. How about one more verse? Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. By the way, on that thing about treasure, doesn't the world, don't most people go to work every day in hope of retirement one day where they can just kind of bask in their treasures that they earned with all those years of hard work, only to see that with inflation, what happens to a lot of that treasure? With the stock market, what happens to a lot of that treasure? It seems to evaporate. But hey, you don't see that happen with Jesus Christ and the treasures that He has available for me and you. It can't evaporate. Can't go away. Doesn't lose value. Look at 1 Timothy 1:1. Last verse we'll look at here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our what? Our hope. And I end there because it says in the verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The verse in Lamentations said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The most valuable portion of anything you could get is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Little reminder for, I know myself, hopefully for you too, don't get discouraged about all the stuff that other people have. If you have the Lord, you have the most valuable portion you could ever have. Amen? Oh, I wish I had more money. Oh, I wish I had this. Wish I had that. Man, I tell you, the older I get, and I know you folks know this way better than I do because you're older than me, but the older I get, you see how unimportant things you once thought were so valuable and important, how unimportant they really are. Don't you see that? The older I get, every day I see that even more. And then it also leads you to realize, man, you know Jesus Christ. You got all you need. So if the Lord is your portion, you don't need anything else. He's all you need. So that wraps up our series, at least I think so, on the Lord is my. I think we exhausted the list. If you find one that I overlooked, please let me know. And we'll get into something different the next time we meet. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you have made it possible for us to have the greatest portion possible in this universe, in eternity and in now, and now as well. We just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ pouring out His soul for us, bearing the iniquities on our behalf, our iniquities. And we thank you that we can sit back and read and just revel in the blessings and be thankful and count the blessings we have, knowing you, knowing that if you are our portion, we truly have more than enough. And I pray that we would just be reminded of this little simple message in the days ahead. There's a chance that some of us here could lose some things that we thought were valuable, but I pray that we be reminded that we have you being most valuable, no matter what we lose in this life. And I just thank you that I had a real good group here tonight with some fellowship, prayer, and in your word. And I just pray that we would truly live for you here in these last days, knowing that the time could be short, knowing that the times could be tough upcoming. May we revel and rejoice and live for you, knowing that you are a portion and that is truly enough. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.